Welcome back, Clean Technica listeners, to another edition of Clean Tech Talk, Clean Technica's signature podcast. Today, I am your host, Scott Cooney, and I get to sit down in person with Naomi Moranzoni, Senior Vice President of Climate and Innovation Philanthropy at Salesforce. Salesforce is a humongous company with a huge office building in downtown San Francisco. They have been on an impressive climate journey for well over a decade. And in a nutshell, they have created a blueprint for themselves and then for their 150,000 business clients to follow, helping everyone get to net zero as soon as possible. They are a founding member of 1T.org, a reforestation effort to plant a trillion trees all across the world. They do advocacy work. They help with policy and advocacy around that. They do direct action and they walk the talk. Their tower in downtown San Francisco is absolutely humongous and uses 50% less electricity per square foot than the median office building in the United States and sources 100% of its power from renewable clean sources. They have a water conservation program that is really innovative, including a wastewater treatment plant on site, which is a first of its kind for a commercial building. All of that is really cool. You can learn about it at salesforce.com/company/sustainability if you want to dive in and get a little bit more. But in today's podcast, I'm really excited to talk about AI and climate solutions. Salesforce recently just announced, and Clean Technica just published, in a new accelerator for companies and nonprofits that are working with AI to solve the climate crisis. And Salesforce is helping them with direct investment, with patient capital, with human resources, and with technology to help scale their solutions to the climate crisis. And we're talking gigatons worth of emission reductions that are possible using this technology. I learned all about it today, and in the podcast, we'll dive into it. So enjoy the show.
Welcome back for another episode of Clean Tech Talk, where we at Clean Technica interview clean tech leaders from around the world. With topics ranging from electric cars to climate change communication, you can listen to our full podcast series by visiting our website at cleantechnica.com.
Well, I have a great pleasure to sit down with Naomi Moranzoni, Senior VP of Climate and Innovation Philanthropy at Salesforce, sitting in the beautiful Salesforce Tower today, enjoying an amazing session this morning on climate and AI and the solutions that you all are supporting. And I wanted to sit down with you and talk about this. So welcome to Clean Tech Talk, Naomi Moranzoni.
Thanks, Scott. It's great to be here.
Okay, so this is the inaugural Climate and AI Summit hosted by Salesforce as part of SF Climate Week. I hope to see a lot more of these in the future. This was really inspiring. I found today's session very hopeful and super cool to see all the different solutions. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, okay, Salesforce is a big technology company. I think everybody's heard of it, but I don't know how much everybody knows about exactly how far you guys have gone in your corporate social responsibility and your sustainability commitments. Can you give a little high-level overview? I know it's not exactly your role in the company, but just a little high-level overview of where Salesforce is and where you've come and the things that you guys are really interested in.
Yeah, so Salesforce has been on a climate journey for about the last decade. And at this moment that we're in right now, it's more important than ever that every company leans in to addressing the climate crisis. And in particular, Salesforce is focused on four things. That's net zero. That's both in our own operations, and we have aggressive goals there towards a net zero commitment, as well as our product. So enabling all of our customers around the world to also reach those net zero goals. The second thing we're focused is on nature positive, thinking about how, you know, we're both in a climate crisis, but also a biodiversity crisis. And how do we think about managing and addressing our own impacts on nature and helping, again, our customers along that journey? The third is ecopreneurs. As we roll into this climate smart economy that we are going into, how do we support the entrepreneurship and the innovators so they can get to those climate solutions that we need? And the fourth is around the energy transition. And so thinking about through our customers, our philanthropy, as well as the work that we do from a policy position, how do we support that energy transition?
That's awesome. Yeah, and speaking my language there, I'm an ecopreneur and have been for most of my life and have felt very unsupported throughout so much of that process. And it's so cool now to see big companies like Salesforce helping folks in that space to really innovate and be supported. You know, one of the things that I think was really fascinating is, you know, you mentioned a little bit about this full capital stack for capital deployment and de-risking this capital for those ecopreneurs that are out there solving problems that are challenging and that need that risk-tolerant capital to get that stuff going. So let's talk a little bit about your guys' accelerator and the news that you guys just put out yesterday, which we did publish on Clean Technica yesterday. Let's talk a little bit about that and closing that access gap between AI and tech and climate to help facilitate some of those solutions. So give us a high-level overview of that accelerator, if you don't mind.
So one of the things that we saw within our communities, especially when we think about purpose-driven organizations, the nonprofits who are working in this space, is that there is no ambition gap when it comes to using AI and using technology to drive forward their solutions, but there is an access gap. In fact, about 3/4 of the organizations that we've spoken to are saying things like, they know they need to go through a digital transformation, but they don't have the capacity to do it. They don't have the funds or the resources to do that. And so that's what the accelerator is designed to do. So really what it does is it provides three things. It gives donated technology, it gives dedicated pro bono support from our employees, and it gives unrestricted funding. And so this is really to surround the organization with the tools that they need to take those risks, to explore, to go through an innovation cycle to see, could this technology advance what they would be able to do? And this is actually our second AI for Impact Accelerator. We launched one in the fall around education and just wrapped that up. I'm thrilled that today at the inaugural AI for Climate Summit, we were able to announce the next round of our accelerator grantees, 5 amazing organizations that are working across climate mitigation, climate adaptation, and climate finance.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we heard from several of them this morning, and I would love to profile some of these real quick, if you don't mind. And you mentioned earlier how there's so many climate solutions sitting in a laboratory, and you guys are helping lubricate getting that out to market, and I think that's really, really cool. So maybe let's dive into a couple of those examples. There were so many interesting ones that were on the panels this morning, and then a couple that weren't represented, and I just read about yesterday, and I thought were so fascinating. So let's dive into that.
Yeah, so I want to talk about 2 organizations that are working more in that climate mitigation. One of them is WattTime, and WattTime is a really amazing organization that essentially says there's 3 simple fixes that could help save up to 9 gigatons of CO2.
That sounds like a lot.
It's pretty incredible. You know, and what they're helping organizations and companies do is think about where they site, use how they use energy, where they site the renewable energies, and then how they procure that in the supply. And you know, they're really able to support these organizations to do this transformation, but what they've realized pretty quickly is that they need to address the long tail of organizations and companies that are thinking about their climate journey, thinking about how they're going to address their energy use, but they don't have the capacity or the manpower to do that, right, to get out and talk to all those people. So their vision for AI is how do they better predict and identify who might be a really that great person at an organization, that person that's going to get them to yes, and how do they engage more effectively with them? How do they think about automation and generative AI and self-service to be able to move that quicker? And so their vision is that they'll be able to reach more and hit that long term much more effectively with their strategy. If we go then to thinking about climate adaptation, you know, we really appreciate the efforts of, you know, all the work we are doing to stop the, the emitting now and decrease that. But the reality is that our communities are impacted by the climate today.
Already,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, see the increased frequency and severity of extreme weather events happening. And the reality is we need to support our communities as they go through that. And so another organization is Good 360. Mm-hmm. And what Good 360 does is they match nonprofits who need physical goods in the wake of a disaster with the organizations or the companies or individuals that are donating it, right? So they do about 16,000 truckloads of goods in a given year, and they want to use AI to better categorize and sort the materials that have been donated to matchmake it with the organizations in need and to optimize their routes so they're decreasing truck rolls so that they know that their supplies are getting there more effectively and more efficiently, and they expect that by doing this, they're going to be able to save about 20% in their own emissions.
That's awesome.
And so really trying to decarbonize our disaster relief efforts.
Yeah, I mean, so much disaster relief is a disaster happens, everybody's in shock and awe for a little bit, and then, oh my gosh, what do? Everybody jumps in, volunteer, I can donate a blanket, I got sweaters, whatever, and that stuff takes time. And it takes a lot of organization. And so many times it's just that you get way too much of one thing and not enough of another thing. And it really takes, I think it's going to take AI with people at the helm to guide that process and make it effective so that disaster on the ground is not coupled with more disaster of truckloads of stuff that nobody wants or needs and then trying to figure out what the heck to do with all that stuff.
I couldn't say it better myself.
It's huge.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Hello, cleantech enthusiasts. If you enjoy Cleantech Talk and Cleantechnica, please consider pitching in a few dollars a month at cleantechnica.com/support. That's cleantechnica.com/support, where you can sign up in seconds with a credit card, pitch in a few dollars a month, or whatever you like. Some people actually contribute $100 a month to help us cover climate change and clean tech and try to help the world one word at a time. Thank you.
And with regard to Watt Time, it's just so awesome. Gavin, the founder there, one of your ecopreneurs, talked a little bit about how they're finding these solutions, and there's a lot of pent up demand within these companies to do this stuff. And so many companies and the people within those companies have the power to do something about it, don't know how, and they're getting an almost 100% success rate of saying, hey, this is a win-win solution. Do you want to just do it? And as long as they find the right person that has the power to say that, then boom, these things happen. And now climate solutions are just happening and it's just lubricated. And that it's a beautiful example of how Salesforce is helping lubricate that whole process. Can you dive into a little bit of the specifics you said with regard to the software that you guys provide and then the people power that you help provide and then the de-risk capital for both of those organizations? What was the process? How did it all play out with Gavin, with Good Sense, with all these like cool organizations?
So we're just at the beginning now. So what happens is we invite our community to send in basically a concept note, a idea, a vision. How do they see AI, whether it's predictive or generative AI, to advance their mission? What could that look like? And we don't require them to have a full identification of all the different technology. We'll work with them to do that. All the organizations go through a vetting, both for programmatic alignment along lines where we invest from our climate philanthropy, so making sure that it's in line with that. We look at the feasibility. Can our technology do what their vision is? We want to make sure we're matching them with the right technology. And then we also look at it from an ethical and sustainable AI principle. So we have robust principles around how do you ensure transparency? How do you safeguard private information? How do we ensure that, you know, we are doing no harm with this technology? And we go through three of them, and then we come up with our organizations. Then they go through a 5-month intensive consulting process with our employees. So they get matched with a team of experts based on their needs. That can be everything from an AI specialist to a technical architect. We always give them a project manager, which is also critical to the success. And they go through this phase zero to really identify and pinpoint that solution. And then at the end of the consulting, then we then provide the donated technology for 2 years to say, okay, go, let's build this. Now let's see, is this working for you? And we want to give them a long runway to take risks, to innovate, to see, is this meeting the needs that they thought it would? One of the things that we see in the impact space, in the nonprofit space, is that they're not often allowed to take risks, right? They are working under incredible budget constraints. They're constantly being asked to do more with less. And oftentimes we don't see funders wanting to invest in this area, right? It's maybe not a proven solution. And so these are the things that we're intending to do, is to give them that permission to take risks, to help de-risk that for other funders so they can see that proven solution if that moves forward. So we're really excited around the way that this, you know, environment can support both our grantees, but also the engagement from our employees. You know, one of the things that's really amazing that we saw in this last accelerator on education and AI was we had 250 employees sign up to try and volunteer for 18 spots. Amazing. So we had overwhelming demand from our employee base. And we asked them in that application, why do you want to do it? And they said universally two things. They wanted to be able to be better connected to our mission and our values and our community. And really importantly, they wanted hands-on early access to our innovative technology, right? This is our most cutting-edge technology, and they wanted that practical application. So not only is this a huge win for our communities and those nonprofits in the accelerator, it's a huge win for our employees, and it's a huge win for our business as a result.
It's also just really cool.
It is. It is really cool. The solutions that they're, you know, that are coming up with. Another organization that I'm very passionate about is the Ocean Risk and Resilience Alliance Action Network, which is ORA, is what it goes by in shorthand. And what their vision is around accelerating access to climate finance. And so right now, particularly in the blue carbon space, there's a huge opportunity around financing. There's interest, both, you know, if we look at mangroves, for example, it's not just in blue carbon and the carbon markets, but it's things like parametric insurance. It's thinking about different types of investment vehicles that exist out there. But the connecting to this finance is so slow. We hear it time and time again, you know, they spend so much of their time trying to get more funding. So what ORA's vision is to create, they're calling it the Octadesk, which is they're trying to create this sort of eight-legged connection vehicle to use AI to be able to better matchmake deals and financing at the right stage of that project development. So whether they need that early philanthropic de-risking capital, what they're looking at scale capital, whether it's the next stage from those asset managers, all of those opportunities, and to be able to accelerate that pace of financing.
That's so awesome. Naomi, I just have one last follow-up question for you. How does all this make you feel? This is your career. This is what you do. Like, how do you feel about this?
I mean, I can't imagine a better job than the one that I have here, right? Working with our frontline communities, our nonprofits, and our employees, getting them match made into these incredible opportunities where we're then supporting both the community and the employee and all of the world that we need to do right now. You know, this vision that we have right now, when we think about AI and sustainability, we need to make sure that it is AI for everyone, everywhere, and that includes our planet. And the accelerator is just a great example of how we're reaching that goal.
That's so awesome. Well, Naomi, thank you so much for doing the work you do. It's super important, super critical. Salesforce has, you know, power to do this kind of stuff, so I'm super grateful that organizations that have the power to do it are using it wisely and are being responsible corporate citizens. It's awesome to see. Real hats off to you guys. This is really, really cool news, and it fills me with a lot of hope and admiration and just respect. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Clean Tech Talk. Join us next time to get your electric fix. If you would like to sponsor our podcast, send us an email at accounts@cleantechnica.com. That's accounts@cleantechnica.com. Thanks. Yeah.